Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Dave Jones, and I am the proud leader of the Marlow congregation. It was my absolute privilege to take over last week, and I just want to thank you guys for just all being so welcoming and so loving, and it was just the best welcome that Chloe and I could have hoped for. And so, you know, I just want to thank you for that. And it's just an absolute privilege. And I really look forward to getting to know all of you. I make a commitment not to be an ivory tower leader. I really want to get to know every single one of you, and we can just do this whole family on a mission thing together. How's that sound? Sounds cool. This morning, I am talking about what does it actually mean to be family. Last week, I kind of gave my high-level vision, which is more of a strapline, really. It's that we as church are to be family on a mission. And I showed a clip from a film called The Incredibles, which was, and they are a superhero family. And they, as a family, need to hold in tension the balance of doing family together and doing the mission together. As part of their identity, they need to be superheroes. If they're not being superheroes, if they're not fighting bad guys, they're not being true to who they are called to be. And if they do that without doing the family stuff, then they've just totally missed the point, because they're a family and they need to be in relationship. They need to spend time with one another. They need to care for one another. They need to speak into one another's lives. They need to challenge one another. So they need to be family, but they also need to be on a mission, and they need to hold both in tension. And that is what, for me, church is about. It's about, we've got to be family. We've got to be a community of care. We've got to love one another and spend time with one another and input into one another. But if that's just what we're doing, then we're not fulfilling who God's called us to be. And we're supposed to be a missional community, a community that's got to impact the town of love and of Marlow with the love and power of God, and impact our spheres of influence, whether it be our families, our workplaces, whatever it is, with the gospel, which is over signs and wonders and the good news and preaching and you know, the gospel. But it's also covert, which, you know, it's infiltrating the system with heaven's wisdom and righteousness and mercy and creative thinking and justice and all those kind of things as well. So that's who we are. We are a family, and what are we? I'm so bad at doing that. I need to get that right. Okay, we are a
family
on a
mission.
There we go. That's a bit better. And at the end, I set you guys some homework. Put your hands up if you actually did your homework. Dan, you didn't do your homework. You weren't even here last week. So the homework was, don't worry, you don't just have a week to do it. It's you know, it's an open-ended challenge, but I would like you to do it as soon as possible, really, although this is not a dictatorship. Challenge number one was, go and tell three people what your relationship with them means to you. Challenge number two was, identify three people in the congregation who you want your relationship with them to go deeper, and then you need to do something about it. So, you know, it's like me saying to you, Connor, saying, hey, you know, I really value our friendship and I want us to work on that. Let's start going for coffee, or let's like come around for dinner and hang out. And it's actually making a plan of action to deepen that. And then homework point number three was to actually give some thought. You know, what is my mission in this season? What is God calling me to do? And to rethink about that, because there are times when it's really clear and there are times when we kind of need to, you know, reevaluate and you know, rethink things. So that is still your homework. However, this week, there may be a little bit more homework. So, you know, procrastination means that today you're having a hard time doing yesterday's actions. So that's a lesson to you all, is not to procrastinate. So today, I'd like to just quickly talk on what does it mean to be a family? Because, you know, we're church and, you know, we're the family of God, but we're not actually a family, are we? You know, my family is my wife and my parents, and you guys, I just kind of know you and I hang out with you. So what does it actually mean for us to be a family is what I'd like to talk about. And I don't think I've got the comprehensive list and the comprehensive voice of the Lord on the matter. It's just kind of what's buzzing around in my head about what I think it means for us, really. So here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Number one, being a family means it being multi-generational. So I love Christmas because at Christmas I get to hang out with my little nieces and I get to hang out with my gran. And I used to get hang out with my great nan. I hang out with my uncles and aunties. And it's absolutely fantastic experience because you've got all these generations together and everyone's kind of bringing their, you know, generational dynamic into the mix. And it's really, really cool. And there's very, very few places in life where you get that kind of dynamic. And one of the places where you get that is church. It's like we're all together and there's the kids and there's the creche and there's the, you know, the younger ones of us and the older ones of us. And it's just, it's a really, really cool dynamic. And I think that's one of the aspects of being family is that it's multi-generational. If we could turn to Exodus 17, verse 10, this has absolutely rocked my life. Although, so is everything. I'm quite easily rocked by things. I get quite excitable by various principles I find in Scripture. But this rocked my life as well. Okay, verse 10. So, we'll start in verse 8, sorry. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel and at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and to go out to fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. This is crazy when you think about it. Moses is on top of this hill and he's looking down and Joshua and some of the other boys having a fight. Moses, he puts his hands up in the air and Joshua is winning the fight. He takes his hands down and Joshua starts losing the fight. Hands up, he wins. Hands down, he loses. And there's something about that which I think like we need to get hold of, which is the generations are aligned. So they're in their right position. Moses is covering Joshua. He's covering him spiritually, and I think that this is just kind of my speculation reading into the story. His authority spiritually to be able to cover him came from his fathering relationship with Joshua, which he paid a price for. He mentored Joshua. He spoke into his life. I don't believe Joshua would have gone into that battle to fight his life had Moses not prepared him for it already and had he not already got a trusting relationship with Moses. So Moses is covering Joshua, and Joshua is coming under the covering of Moses. And I think that basically there is just a dynamic to recognize, which is that the fathers in the house need to cover the sons in the house. And that involves a positioning of their heart. It involves it's a relational thing. It's a prayerful thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it's about recognizing, hey, you know what? I'm called to cover you. And it may be specific relationships, it may be people outside of the church, but there's a dynamic for the fathers to go, you know what, I'm going to cover you. You're going to come to me and we're going to have a relationship. I'm going to speak into your life. I'm going to speak identity into you. I'm going to cover you spiritually. I'm going to pray for you. And, you know, that's going to keep you safe, basically. And there's an aspect for the sons in the house to actually identify their fathers in the house and say, you know what, I want to come under you. I'm going to kind of not be arrogant or not just kind of do my own thing, but I'm going to step up and fight. And I think that's one of the things which like my generation needs to do is actually, you know, is step up and fight. So I kind of stand here as one like, you know, as someone who's, you know, mid-20s, and I'm kind of like looking around, and I'm like, where are my peers? And so I'm almost kind of feel like I'm standing here prophetically, you know, on behalf of my generation saying, it's time to step up and fight. And so I just want to say that, like, that is one of the dynamics which I think we need to recognize in church, that there is a spiritual covering which takes place, and there's a time to fight, and there's a time to cover. And I don't necessarily know how that works in specifics. It can be quite complicated. It can be like this in one situation, and this is another. But as everyone understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Great. So, dynamic number two. Everyone is cared for. So what does family look like? Number one, it's multi-generational. Point number two, in family, everyone is cared for, included, and heard. In Romans 12, Paul talks about the body of Christ. Well, we being the body of Christ. And he calls us a body and he says, some of you are an eyeball, some of you are a foot, some of you are an elbow. You know, we're all of equal importance. We all like use our own giftings. And I love that it kind of, that is echoed in the Incredibles clip. In the end scene, there's the fight. And the little girl, she goes invisible. There's Mr. Incredible, he's really strong. And there's the mum, she's like really stretchy. And there's the boy, and he runs really fast. And they each like bring their own gifting to the mix. They each do their thing. And when they work as a team, that wins the battle. And that's the same with what Paul's saying about the body of Christ. He says, you know what? We need an eye. We need the mouth. We need the bit of hair. We need the, you know, the elbow. And we all need to work together. And, you know, that is, and if one part of the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. You know, the other day I fell over and I cut my elbow. And that hurt, you know. My mind felt that. He was going, ow, your elbow's hurting, Dave. And I was like, I know. So I got this hand to put plaster on this elbow. Some of you hands need to put plasters on some of you elbows. Back to the point, Dave. And when one part of the body is rejoicing, the other part of the body rejoices. You know, Julian, I love the fact that you are part of this body because you guys are off doing, you know, your thing in Africa and Mozambique. And that's like, that's my story. I celebrate because you're part of this family. And I'm like, yes, that's awesome. I'm so glad about that because I get to be a part of that. And so we share with one another's victories, but we need to share with one another's pains and sufferings. And actually, like, you know, one of the things which you guys, it'd be great if you could share a pain that we've got is that Chloe and I found out last week that Chloe's mum's got terminal cancer of the pancreas and her liver. And so if you could stand with us. You know, that's something that we need to, you know, be praying into and just for strength and peace and healing and all that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, that's one of our pains. And we just, this is what being a body is about. It's what being as a family is about. We just need to share with one another. So everyone is cared for, everyone's included and everyone's heard. So on Sunday mornings, we, you know, as a leadership, but we together need to look at, you know, how are we including, you know, our children in the worship? How are we including our young people in the worship? How are we including guests? How are we including, you know, the elderly amongst us? And we need to become, we need to work together to become a community where everyone is cared for and where everyone has a voice. And so Chris will probably email you. Well, Chris, we plan to email you next week advertising what we want to have every 2 months, which is a congregational evening whereby we can all come together. And you guys can ask questions and suggest things and say, you know, we think this is going really well, or we think this needs to be improved. And we can go, hey, this is what our plans are. This is what we're going through as a leadership. And to actually kind of really open that door of communication within the congregation, because I'm really committed to everyone having a voice and to finding ways and systems for that to work and just to wrestle with that, really. So just so you know, that email should be coming out, and that is, what date is that? It's June the 12th. And so what I'd like is us to do, it'd be once every 2 months, we'll cancel the small groups that week, and we'll have a congregation evening whereby we can communicate. So yeah, everyone is cared for, included, and heard. I also put, it's more than just being friendly with one another on Sunday mornings. It's about opening our homes to one another and opening our homes to guests. This is what it means for me to be family, to be a community of care and inclusion. It's more than just being really nice and, oh, hey, how are you? It's about figuring out ways to share life together. Cool. Point number one was multi-generation, all age. Point number two is that everyone's cared for, included and heard. Point number three is everyone does their bit. you know, family gatherings are hard work. Christmas is a mission. It's really hard. There's so much washing up to do. There's so much cooking to do. But you know, like I was saying, you know, just about the whole Romans 12 thing, is everyone needs to bring what they have to the mix. And, you know, everyone, when I was a kid, I used to, even now actually, but I don't really have an excuse these days, I used to hate the washing up. And I would do anything to get out of it. Oh, Mum, I need the loo. Or I've just got to go and sort some stuff out. And just always just avoidance, avoidance, avoidance. And then I'll come in, oh, do you want a hand? And oh, we've done it now. But, you know, if we are to be the church that God's calling us to be, I'm afraid it's going to have to be a case of all hands on deck. You know, it's going to take work because, you know, family gatherings and doing the family stuff, it just takes work. And so from my perspective, it would be really, really helpful if you were able to go away and think, you know, what can I offer? You know, I'm doing this for the church at the moment, and but actually I've got, you know, 2 days spare a week, or I've got 1 day spare a week, or I've got, you know, I'm around on Sunday mornings, I get up really early and I could come and help set up. You know, whatever you could bring, it would just be really helpful if I could almost know that, or if we could know that, so we could go, oh yeah, you know, you could help out with this or help out with that. Because otherwise, you know, how do we know where to put you, so to speak? Cool. So everyone does their bit. Lastly, point number 4, families have fun together. Like, that's one of the cool things about family, is just that, you know, I think for me, family times are the best when families are just having fun together, when you're playing games together, when you're going on a trip together, when you, you know, you go out and play sports or whatever it is. Families are about fun. And families, they just gel when we have fun. And so I want us as a congregation to work at having fun together. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like us to develop a social calendar. But I don't think this should be a leadership thing saying, right, we're now doing this, this, and this. What I'd like almost like to happen is just for people to start putting on stuff. So, you know, Paul going, hey, let's go climb a mountain, or go, like, you know, hill walking, or go to the beach and just invite a whole bunch of people. Or, you know, Dan say, all right, I want to start a table tennis team. Who wants to play table tennis? Or ladies going, all right, we're going wine tasting. Who wants to come? And or we're going to a spa. You know, that kind of thing. Who wants to come? Or Connor, like, I'm going to a gig. Who wants to come? And just like being really proactive in just having fun together, and we invite one another to it. But the brilliance of that is that it means that we can invite our work colleagues to that, or our neighbours and stuff, and you can begin getting people like rubbing off on one another. So, you know, that's the perfect opportunity. I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable inviting one of my non-Christian friends to church on Sunday morning. But if we were like going to Orange Wednesdays together to the cinema, like a whole guys group of guys from church, I say, hey, come along, meet my mates from church, and let's all hang out, go for a drink afterwards or whatever. And then, you know, that whole process is oiled. And so I think it's really important that we have fun together, but everyone needs to take responsibility from it. It can't just be like a, you know, a top-down thing. It needs to be just everyone together just taking responsibility for bringing one another in, for caring for one another, for having fun. How does that sound? Great. So point number 1 is we need to be multi-generational. We need to find fathers and sons and mothers and daughters in one another's lives. Point number 2 is we're a community of care. Point number 3 is everyone does their bit. So if you're avoiding the washing up, I suggest it's time you stepped up and started doing some washing up. Point number 4 is that let's have fun together. I'll just be quick. A few reasons why I really think this is important. Number 1 is a move of God needs to be handed from one generation to the next. It's the story of the Old Testament that a king, a righteous king, will rise up and God will encounter them, and they'll have this, you know, amazing, you know, relationship with God, and they'll bring reformation in the land, and they'll get rid of all the kind of the idols and all the, you know, the bad stuff that's going on. And then the next king that will come up, he just won't walk in the footsteps of his father, and the land will just, you know, go back to being a nightmare and just chaos and all that kind of stuff. And then a new righteous king will rise up, and then you know, and it's the story of the Old Testament is this: hey, Israel's doing great, Israel's doing really bad, Israel's doing really great, Israel's doing really doing really bad. And the reason is because the baton isn't handed on from one generation to the next. But when we see that it is handed on from one generation to the next, we see this amazing thing happen. You see David handing it on to Solomon, and Solomon just makes complete history in Israel. Moses hands it on to Joshua, and it's like absolutely phenomenal what the people of Israel do. And there's like this increase that happens when it's handed on really well from one generation to the next. And I just want to commend this congregation. I want to commend Al and Julian and Nigel and other fathers in the house. Because last week, when we had that kind of realization, which Linda brought, wow, there's five generations of leaders in the room. You know, that is absolutely fantastic. But that's something that we really need to like continue going for, is handing what God is doing from one generation to the next. Because there's the principle of inheritance. When my parents die, I'm going to get for free what they spent a lifetime working for. That's what inheritance is. And their ceiling becomes my floor, and I get it for free. And we see it happening in church history. You know, like the people, like a couple of generations ago, you know, had to really, really fight for things, and you know, like charismatic worship or women in leadership, you know, things like that, which my generation, we now come in and we just take it completely for granted. And that's now our floor. And so the former generation has to release the latter generation. The latter generation has to then honour and receive the inheritance of what the former generation has paid for. Does that make sense? So there's kind of like this receiving that needs to take place, while simultaneously, like, each generation needs to find it for themselves. Each generation needs to find their faith for themselves, and this kind of it's kind of this tension between taking what's being offered, but also really finding it for yourselves in a new way. I think that's kind of like the tension of, like, you know, how we disciple and father and bring up our teenagers and our youth to really find it for themselves, but also take what we're giving them and really run with it and build on it. So, lastly, the second reason we need to do this is because family is the building block of society, which is eroding, and we as a church need to model what it means to be family. Quite simply, you know, I went into Feltham Young Offenders Prison a couple of weeks ago, and not a couple of weeks ago, about a year ago, and I asked the chaplain there, I said, how many of these young people have a dysfunctional relationship with their father? And he said, every single one of them. They either have no relationship or a completely dysfunctional relationship with their father. And you look at the riots in the summer, it put fatherlessness on the map. I was looking at the riots on the news, and I was just thinking, where are the fathers? You know, where are the fathers? This is absolutely ridiculous. And we as a church need to model what it means to be family. Because if we go and do the mission stuff, we go out there, hopefully, if that's, you know, doing what it's supposed to be accomplishing, then our family should be getting bigger, because people should be coming to know Jesus and going, hey, I want to be part of your family. And if we haven't got the family thing down, if we haven't got what it means to be a loving, caring community, what are we bringing them into? I was like, I've kind of on one level been haunted by last year when we put on the LZ7 gigs in the schools. It's absolutely fantastic. All these kids became Christians, loads of them, hundreds of them, ran to the front to get Bibles. But now I've kind of got this feeling, and it's fine, like there's no judgment of it or anything, that we've birthed these kids. They've come to know Jesus, but they're orphaned. They've got no mums and dads. They're just walking around as little orphans. And we need to bring people into a community where they can be mother, they can be father, and they can join in with a family. You know, we're doing stuff at Marley Youth Centre, and what these kids need, they need families. You know, they need mums and dads, people speaking into their life, speaking identity, security, you know, all those kind of boundaries, all those good things which fathers and mothers provide. So that is why I think we need to be a family before we need to be on a mission. And the family dynamic needs to, the mission needs to come out of the family. Does that make sense? Yeah. The end. So shall I just pray? What I'd like us to do is just close our eyes just for a couple of minutes. And I'd just like you to ask the Lord, is there anyone in my life who I need to be a mum or dad to? And is there anyone in my life who I need to ask, maybe not in these words, but hey, will you be a mum or dad to me? Jesus, I just want to thank you that you are perfect family. You know, within the Godhead, within the Trinity, there is perfect love, perfect honor, perfect freedom between the Father, between the Son, between the Holy Spirit. And you made us in our image. You've wired us for relationship with one another. You're a God of relationship. At the end of the story, there's a wedding. And so, Father, I just ask that you help us to be a family. Help us to deal with conflict, to speak into one another's lives, to have the difficult conversations, and to really love one another. Help us to find ways in the busyness of life to be able to open our homes to one another and to share life with one another. And I just, in the spirit, want to just call my generation to fight. I want to call the prodigals home in Jesus' name. Father, I just ask that you give us a wisdom of when is it that we need to just stand there with our arms open wide, ready for them to come back? And when is it when we need to go out like the lost sheep and find them? Give us the wisdom to know what's best. But in the spirit, I just want to make a decree that River Church is a multi-generational family. It's a place of care, place of inclusion, a place of empowerment and release from the youngest to the oldest. In Jesus' name, amen.